Thank you, Kim. Well, as we all know, Pastor Matt's still not feeling well, so I'm going to fill in for him today. And we had some texts back and forth yesterday, and I assured him and promised him that I would not be too lengthy and that I would try to be very careful so that when he does return, he doesn't have a whole lot of damage control to contend with. So we'll just move forward from there. And what I want to talk about today is I've called He Knows Who Are His. And before we start, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we have together this morning. And once again, Lord, I would just ask that we can be still and know that you are God. Lord, let us listen to you. Lord, and as we share together today, I just pray that, Lord, these scriptures that we look at will speak to us, Lord, and that we will always remember you know who are yours. You know who belong to you. Lord, and we just thank you again for this time and lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen. And as I've said before, when I speak from up here, I like to refer to it as sharing. So I just have a few things I'd like to share with you this morning. And I wanted to start out this morning by reading a little story. Now it's okay. Klee said it was okay. You know, I'm supposed to avoid stories. I'm supposed to avoid jokes, war stories, and that kind of thing. But as we've been seeing all these commercials on TV, Klee has reviewed this, and she approves this message. Okay. Goes like this. On the outskirts of a small town, there was a big old pecan tree just inside of the cemetery fence. One day, two boys picked up a bucket full of the nuts and sat down by the tree, out of sight, and began dividing up the nuts. Now, I shared this story a few weeks ago on the Zoom meeting with the Wednesday night group, so you might recognize this story. And wanting to make sure that the nuts were divided equally, they carefully counted them out. One for you, one for me. One for you, one for me, and so on. As they were counting them out, several of the nuts dropped out of the bucket onto the ground and rolled down a little slope next to the fence. Meanwhile, another boy came riding along down the street on his bicycle. As he passed the cemetery, he thought he heard voices coming from inside the fence. He slowed down to investigate, and sure enough, he heard the voices. One for you, one for me. One for you, one for me. And he just knew what it was. He jumped back on his bike and rode off. And just around the bend down the street, he met an old man who was using a cane and hobbling along. Said, "Come here quick," said the boy to the old man. "You won't believe what I heard." "What?" asked the old man. The boy replied in a quivering voice, "Satan and the Lord are down at the cemetery dividing up souls." The old man, in an unbelieving and annoying tone of voice, said, "Beat it, kid. Can't you see it's hard enough for me to walk? I don't want to go down all the way down to that cemetery." But after much pleading from the boy, the old man finally agreed and hobbled slowly to the cemetery. They got to the cemetery and slowly went up to the fence and listened. And sure enough, they heard voices. "One for you, one for me. One for you, one for me," and so on. The old man whispered to the boy, "Boy, I hear it too. You're right. You've been telling me the truth. Let's see if we can see the Lord." Shaken with fear, they peered through the fence, but were unable to see anything. The old man gripped the wrought iron bars of the fence tighter and tighter as they tried to get a glimpse of the Lord. Then again they heard, "One for you, one for me. One for you, one for me." Then one of the voices said, "Phew, that's all done. We've got all those. Now let's go down and get those nuts by the fence and we'll be all done." They say that the old man had a lead for a good half mile before the kid on the bike passed him. And you know, we listen to that little story, and it's a cute little story, and we laugh at it. But then when we think about it, about the picture that it paints, and it kind of paints a picture that salvation is a game of chance, hoping that we go to heaven as the souls are divided up, hoping that we get chosen by the Lord. And aren't we thankful that it doesn't work that way? Last week, we celebrated communion, and we talked about being born again and what that looks like, and we shared scriptures that lead us to salvation. I'm just going to review those for just a minute. First, we talked about some of the prerequisites. Believing, Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Profess, Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Have faith. Romans 1:17, the righteous will live by faith. And Jesus told Thomas in John 20:29, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. And then obey. John 14:15, and Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey what I commanded. And then we have the hope that comes with us in Romans 10:9 and 10:13. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Last week, too, I shared a verse from 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And that's an important verse that I really want to target in on because it's a hope that, a verse that we all need to take to heart. Kim touched on it a little bit, but I shared Wednesday night that that verse hit me right between the eyes this last week because I needed to be prepared. And I love how God works things out, because if I hadn't have shared these verses last Sunday, I questioned myself on just how prepared I would have been this last week in sharing with an individual as Don, as Kim had prayed this morning during the prayer time. And so it's a verse that really sets apart for me, and like I said, it really hit me between the eyes this week, and it's just something I think that we all need to think about. How prepared are we? But in that verse is the word hope, and I want to focus on that word for just a minute. And just kind of reiterate that it, in that context, it doesn't mean hope like a game of chance. Because you know what? God has already chosen you. He chose me. And the only thing that was left for us to do was to accept the invitation that he extended to us, and that's the invitation to be born again. So the word hope to Christians means to place trust in, and that's placing our trust in Jesus. Now we have some verses that I want to share that he chose us. And I go to Ephesians 1:4-5. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the pleasure and will. With his pleasure and will. Ephesians 1:11-12. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put hope in Christ, that we might be for the praise of his glory. Yeah, I read those verses, and I don't know about you, but being chosen before the creation of the world and having been chosen, predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, is hard for me to wrap my head around and to wrap my mind around. And I'll just say right up front that if anybody understands that better than I do, I'll switch places with you. But what I want to focus on is that I praise God that He chose me, and I praise Him that He put it in my heart to accept His invitation. Then after all of that, it gets better. Once we've accepted His invitation, we belong to Him. And no one can take that away from us. No one. There's no sorting. He chose us, and if we accept, we are His. No nuts will fall out of the bucket and roll down by the fence. And I can assure you, for a guy like me, that's very comforting that can't happen. John 10:28 gives us assurance. And Jesus says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. There's no snorting there, or sorting there. He chose us, and no one can take us away from Him. Romans 8:39, neither height nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, nothing can separate us. There's no sorting involved. He chose us. We belong to Him. And as we look at the last few months, they've been very interesting, to say the least. We've been scattered all over the place and separated from each other. But we were brought together through some of the technology that we have, and we can be thankful for that. Matt put out videos of his sermons. He put out, occasionally, he'd put out a video of encouragement, just reassuring us that we were still a church family, and that soon things would be back to normal and everything was going to be okay. We can be thankful for David back there, who, thank you, David, who has been very faithful in helping Matt get those videos out there and putting things together and putting stuff together for this morning even. So we can be thankful for those things. And here's something else that's very comforting. Although sometimes we may be scattered, we are never separated from the Lord, because He has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And that's Hebrews 13:5. And even if we are scattered, or when things return to normal and we're amongst the multitudes, He'll find us. He knows where we're at. We belong to Him. Now, I brought along something I want to show you this morning. And again, for those of you who pray that these demonstrations go right, now would be a good time. I brought along this little canister of balls this morning. And let's see if you can see them. They're just little colored balls. And there's a whole bunch of them in here. Then I also brought along some other little balls that I have. And I'm going to mix those in with these in this little canister. and there are 10 of them. And I'm going to mix them all up. And they're all mixed up in with the other ones that I brought along. Now let's say that I want to find all of those that I just put in there. And I want to, let's say, sort those out. And I want to get those back that I've mixed in with these. Now you notice that these balls are not practicing social distancing. We're just assuming we're back to normal times. So I want to do it quickly. And I want to retrieve all of them. So I brought along my special little tool, my special little wand, and I'm going to see if I can retrieve these balls. And I'm looking for 10 of them. And there they are. 5 on that side and 5 on this side. And I found the 10 balls that I wanted. Now I guess the question is, what does that have to do with anything I'm talking about this morning? Well, here's the deal. You probably figured out how that worked, my special little stick. You probably figured that one out. But the whole point is when I took those 10 balls and I put them in that canister with the rest of those little balls had something inside them that was special. That attracted them to this stick, attracted them to this wand. And so I was able to pull those balls out from the rest of them. And the Bible tells us, and there are several references, that someday Jesus is going to come back. And he's going to come back to retrieve those who are his. And so we can sometimes ask ourselves, out of the millions and millions and millions of people in this world, how is he going to retrieve those who are his? How is he going to pick those out of there? Well, the deal of it is that as a Christian, we have something in us that will attract us to him. Just like these balls had something inside of them attracting them to this wand, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And when he comes back, we're going to be attracted to him because we have that Holy Spirit in us as being as Christians. When he comes back, he's not going to sit down with Satan and say, one for you, one for me, one for you, one for me. That's not going to happen because he knows who are his. He's going to retrieve them, and the rest are going to be left behind. Because they don't have that something special inside of them. 2 Timothy 2:19 reminds us and assures us the Lord knows who are his. And I want to go back to 1 Peter 3:15 for just a minute. And I'm going to repeat it. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And again, why is that important? Because as I said earlier, for those of us who have accepted that invitation, he chose us. All we had to do was accept that invitation. Looking back at this verse again, and I'm going to repeat it, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone you ask to give the reason for the hope that you have. Because you know what? There are people out there yet that have been chosen, but they don't know it yet. They need someone to tell them that they have been chosen. They need someone to share with them the good news of the gospel. They need someone to tell them that Jesus is calling for them. And if they accept, they will belong to him. So I just hope that as we leave here today, we can keep that in mind. And as we face the week, that we can remember that. And that we might have the opportunity to share to share the good news of the gospel. Now, I'm going to back up for just a minute. And I talked earlier that I had the opportunity this last week to share with a gentleman. His name is Don, who was very concerned. And he had the idea in his head that he couldn't be forgiven. There were things in his life that he felt that that he just couldn't be forgiven. Long story short, after some conversation and sharing, he chose to accept the invitation that that Christ had for him. And I truly believe in my heart he was sincere. So, as I said, I love it when God puts things and puts a plan together, because if it had not been that I'd had the opportunity last week to share these scriptures, I question myself of how prepared I would have been when I had that encounter. So this verse did, like I said, kind of hit me between the eyes. So as we close today, I just want to, as a reminder, reassure everybody that God knows who are His, and that let's be prepared to share what we have with others, to remind them and tell them that they have been chosen. All they need to do is to accept that invitation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, just thank you for the good news that you have for us. We thank you, Lord, that that you have chosen us, Lord, and just thank you for putting it in our hearts to receive that free gift, to accept that gift. And I would pray this morning, Lord, that as we leave this place, Lord, that when the opportunity comes before us, that we will be prepared to share the good news, to share with others that they have been chosen. All they need to do is accept the invitation. And I would pray, Lord, if there is anybody among us this morning that has not yet accepted that free gift, not accepted that invitation, that today would be that day. Lord, what a joyous time. The angels in heaven dance when someone accepts that invitation. We thank you, Lord. We just ask now for safe travels home. We just ask your blessing for the rest of the day. And we lift all of these things up with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.